Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. And Bob, Toronto was so close. The city of Toronto was so close. And then the BC Lions, even though they missed the field goal, they got the Rouge. They beat the Argonauts 18-17. So close for a win.
Deep into the process, it looked like they could do it.
Yeah.
Despite earlier defeats and disappointments, it looked like they were just it was a different reality, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. I mean, James Wilder getting that touchdown late. I mean, that guy, how many members of the Lions did he make miss? And then they get the two-point conversion. But then special teams, Bob, in the end, special teams always gets you.
We were driving down the Gardner while the game was about to start, about 6:10. We were driving down the Gardner.
Yeah.
A lot of empty seats.
A lot of empty seats.
I was there for the first game. They didn't deserve people to be there.
No.
They got a lot of apologizing to do. They're going to have to bring flowers and candy home every day for a while.
And then this game, they got dumped on with rain. Like, if you go to an Argonauts home game, bad things are going to happen. Like, I hate to say this. I'm an Argo fan. Love the CFL. Anyway, enough with the hilarity of the CFL.
Yeah, let's just get into it. Yeah. So, do you want to start with what's... Bless you.
Excuse me.
Where do you want to start with this? Because there's a million places. How are you feeling? I'm sure we're just going to... How do I feel?
You know what? I'm going to make a more specific question. How are you feeling Sunday morning versus Saturday morning?
I feel exactly the same because I thought he was leaving.
Yeah.
Now, I thought it was going to be the Lakers, so I actually feel better about it than I expected to.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to have to go, oh, man, he's leaving for the super team. So predictable. Like, he dumps me to go to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? But nah, he actually made a kind of a brilliant move, and certainly the shock of it. Like, I spent too much time trying to figure out how the hell did that happen to actually be upset about it.
Well, we didn't know. We knew a lot of versions of Kawhi. We never knew about the recruiting version of Kawhi. And by the way, if you haven't read it, Ramona Shelburne does some reporting. You know, we now know this. He contacted Durant to say, come to the Clippers. And Durant's like, no, I'm going to go to Brooklyn with Kyrie Irving. So clearly something's wrong with Kevin Durant. We then know he started to recruit Paul George because Jimmy Butler had gone to the Heat. And that was the reason for the delay, because now the Clippers and Sam Presti and OKC and the Raptors were involved a little bit, you know, about trying to move Paul George. And that's why there was the big delay. And in the end, the Clippers could offer more than the Raptors could. And Kawhi chose, you know, geography, family, stability, and that infrastructure.
I think my take on it on Sunday morning is probably more nuanced than my one on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I've had some time to process information and think about... I was pretty much okay with it on Saturday. And I'm less okay with it today. But that's mostly because I've heard about the behind-the-scenes machinations. And you never like to see how the sausage is made. You know, I feel a bit queasy when I read Bruce Arthur's piece and he's talking about how Uncle Dennis is on the phone during the Philadelphia series, talking about how Kawhi's not going to be here much longer. We're going to LA.
Yeah.
And how he and Jimmy Butler were actually exchanging conversations about how great it would be to play together while they're playing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So those things, but it didn't stop the effort and they won. Like you still got maximum effort. I'm just amazed at the complexity of these guys' lives.
Well, I'm also just amazed at, like, I thought I'm pragmatic. Kawhi Leonard takes it to another level.
It's true.
Where he's, you know, he can both, you know, still think about next year. But as you say, give ultimate effort, have one of the greatest playoff runs, and then win the championship. I mean, it feels worse when you hear that. You feel like, hey, you mean he didn't want to stay here? But, you know, he wanted to go home. And that's such a hard thing. I mean, I'm like, for me, I'm wildly disappointed. I'm wildly bummed out. And part of me thinks, hey, why don't you at least come back for a year to try and run it back? Like, it's just the classic sports way.
I don't want to do revisionist history on my own takes. I don't really remember how I said I expected the Raptors to be next year with Kawhi.
Yeah.
But I'm of the opinion that they're not as big a lock as everyone seemed to think with Kawhi and the rest of the team. Just because I think that all the older players getting older is a more significant factor than the younger players getting better. I expect Pascal to rise,
yep.
but I don't think he's going to become Kevin Garnett.
No.
Right? He's going to be an all-star. You know, I started thinking maybe he's going to be like an Al Horford, not in terms of how he plays, but in terms of how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing complimentary piece, brings you all kinds of things. You'd never build a team around him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
OG Anunoby, we don't know. But Serge and Gasol and certainly Kyle Lowry. It was a long year.
Can I do a pushback?
Yeah, sure.
Because you're absolutely right.
I'm sure Kawhi was thinking the same thing, which is I don't have a second star,
yeah.
and I had to beat the shit out of myself to get us a title, and I don't think I can do that again and play for a long time.
Oh, 100%. The only pushback is, and this also, I was doing a primer for how to enjoy 2020-21 for the Raptors. Gasol, Ibaka, and Kyle Lowry, the one thing they got, they got the financial carrot in front of them because they're all UFAs. And first off, you're absolutely right. They're a year older. That's never good in pro sports. But at the very least, there was a lot of motivation for those three guys to play really well because this is their last opportunity for any sort of contract of significance.
I think if it would have gone to a game 7, Toronto would have lost because Kawhi was out of gas. Even in game 6, Kawhi was not that effective. And that's not the guy's fault. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying... I'm sure you could see in the post-game interviews, he was practically limping from spot to spot.
He was limping from spot to spot.
And I'm sure in his mind, he's thinking to himself, I love this team. I love this situation. But if I'm serious about having a 4 to 5 year run of excellence, I need young stars.
Mm-hmm.
And this team doesn't have them.
Siakam's
not a star.
He's star with a L-I-T-E.
You know what? And you know who has a star light?
Mm.
Everybody in the league. Mm. Every single team on the league has a star light.
Yeah, but not every team has Kawhi and a star light. And who played the most minutes in Game 6? Siakam? And you can say that. It's funny. The ironic thing about what you say is true. You know, you go to the Clippers, you get Paul George.
I'm making the basketball case for Kawhi leaving.
Yeah. It's ironic. In Game 6, he was probably the fourth best player. But anyway... Onwards and upwards. Yes, that's the basketball case. You go to the Clippers, who have done things well for the last couple of years, especially the tampering, and certainly the firing of Bruce Bowen. That's when it all got kicked off, that you knew the Clippers were serious, when a year ago they fired Bruce Bowen because Bruce Bowen was critical of Kawhi Leonard. That's where it all started.
So let me throw this out to you.
Yeah.
Everybody says that the Raptors did all they could.
Yep.
Is that true?
Yes.
I'm not sure I agree, but you explain your point.
Let's see. They became the tip of the spear of true load management. Not Spurs style when it's, okay, we got, you know, fourth game in 5 nights kind of thing. It's like, no, it's not even a back-to-back, but we're going to give you this night off. And we're going to do whatever it takes. So they did everything there. Then they, you know, they get rid of Valanciunas, bring in Gasol. Like, they do everything that they can do in terms of trust, in terms of health, in terms of personnel. And I don't even believe they really had a chance to get Paul George. I think what OKC was doing, and this is the reporting, Masai Ujiri tapped out of that conversation because he sensed, no, Kawhi's going to LA, and OKC is just using me to leverage the Clippers, to give up more assets. I don't know what more the Raptors could have done.
They could have risked it all anyway. And I'm not saying that they should have. I just want to change the narrative from they did all they could do to all they should do. That we have to accept that at a certain point, the sweepstakes for Kawhi got so rich and stupid that Masai said, this isn't the right thing to do. Because he could have traded for Paul George and still had no guarantee that Kawhi was going to come here. Or maybe he comes for a 1-1, and after 1 year, you got to blow it up and you got no assets left. You could have. The Clippers literally went all in.
They did.
To a degree that is now in the history books. I don't think a prize like this has ever been given up for one player.
It hasn't.
Ever.
It hasn't. I spent half an hour trying to explain to Amy what unprotected first round picks were. By the end, she's just like, never mind, let's move on. And you know, now I'm stubborn. I'm like, no, I'm going to explain this to you, and you're going to understand what an unprotected first round pick is.
And yet you criticize my Scrabble playing with my wife. But okay.
I did have that moment. But you know what I did, Bob?
Yep.
I then let it go.
Okay.
And then you guys had
Whereas another... Sandra and I are still mad about it 12 years later.
Yeah, you guys spent two more hours playing Scrabble while your small child went to the... Me, in this case, went to the dock to hang out.
We're not quitters. Anyway.
I want to know the full reporting. I want to know, did Masai back off because the stakes got too high or because he realized he was being played by Sam Presti? That's the only thing I don't know.
I suspect it was probably the latter. And we also don't know how the Bradley Beal conversations went, because we've heard there are some Bradley Beal conversations, but nobody seems to have a clear picture on what they looked like. We have a pretty clear picture of the Sam Presti conversations.
Yep.
And I've heard divergent reports on whether or not Russell Westbrook was really going to be thrown in.
Yeah. He wants out now.
Who wouldn't?
By the way, if you're Russell...
Who takes him?
4 years, $170 million.
Knicks.
Oh, my God. I didn't even thought about that.
They need a star.
Oh, hey, RJ Barrett, you want someone to help groom you? You want to be in a safe environment to grow as a player? Here's Russell Westbrook. That's like, okay, Bob, you're going to learn how to drive? Great. Here's 17 raccoons we're going to put in the car. That'll make it easier to learn how to parallel park on Spadina. Here comes the raccoons.
That's great.
By the way, think about this for Russell Westbrook. Do you think he ever looks in the mirror and goes, Durant? Yeah, he didn't want to play with me no more. Paul George? Yeah, he didn't want to play. Why is no one wants to play with me? Why is it everyone else's fault? Wait a minute. It is everyone else's fault.
Anyway, I don't want to make it sound like I'm critical of the Raptors. I just want to make sure that there is the could versus should conversation.
That's fair.
And I think it's more compelling if it's a should that Masai Ujiri did, because that also takes a lot of guts.
Yeah.
It's the easier narrative is the one to say I'm all in no matter what.
Yeah.
Because I think this is going to work out for us and then have it all implode. But he believed in his guys. To a certain extent, although it's interesting because Siakam could have been part of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Pascal, I'm thinking, you're going to build a team around me next year. And I was also on the block this year.
Yeah.
But I think he's just got to learn. Everybody's always being traded, always.
Oh, yeah. 100%. You know, I mean, just go back to Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics. Or DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan.
Let's go to an example much closer to home.
Well, let me throw this out.
Yeah.
Do you agree with the idea that I've heard a lot of people say I'm being force-fed the fact that I should accept this and feel good about what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel about fan anger? Because I had a conversation with my buddy yesterday and he was livid.
Yeah.
Livid.
Good.
Use the word blindsided. I feel blindsided by this.
Here's what I
say. I don't think that's rational, but good. I do think it's legitimate.
Yes. I say this 100 times. Be rational with your job, with your wife, your husband. With your kids, with your taxes, with your mortgage. You got to be rational. With sports, you want a heavy dose of irrational? Knock yourself out. I was on radio yesterday, and I said, listen, I'm not as mad that he left. I'm disappointed. I'm bummed out, but I understand it. However, if people calling in, if you're pissed off, if you think he let the city down, if you think he's a traitor, if you think he's any of those things, I'm here for you. I will listen to you. I will not get on some sort of moral high horse or tisk-tisk you. I hate it when the media does that. There's a level of arrogance there, when that happens. So if you want to be angry and pissed off, if you are angry and pissed off, I totally get it. It's sports. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. Fine with the rage.
In principle, I am too, although I think the key distinction I would make between this and stuff like Vince or Chris Bosh or Marcus Camby or even to a degree Damon Stoudemire or less him, is that no promises were made.
Yeah.
So no promises were broken.
Yes.
All the interpretation of what he was doing was our interpretations.
Yes.
There was no commitment on anyone's part.
It was like he was like Kyrie Irving at the beginning of the year with the Celtics when he said, I'll be here if you'll have me, which was his little audio get out of jail free card there. Sneaky. But you're right. There was none of that. There was no promises.
What's interesting about how the league is shifting is it's not just in terms of the power balance of who's good on the court, although we'll get into that conversation. But I think there are two, I'm shocked to hear myself say this, but I got a little bit tired of player empowerment yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I kind of felt like we hit a bit of a tipping point with player power.
Well, it's because, Adam Carolla always says that grunge happened because of
hair metal
bands. Yeah. And then just the pendulum swung. The 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, you know, everyone was getting angry at the players all the time. The players are guilty. And then there became a swing. And then the swing has gone too much the other way. And social media is usually, and I've seen the reports of this, so I know it sounds like a generalization. It's usually a little bit younger, and it's usually a little bit more left wing. So because of that, if you're at all in the social media world, you're going to hear that voice a little bit more. And that voice is obviously going to be more pro-player, pro-worker, anti-owner, and anti-establishment or authority. And at some point, it's like, yes, I'm glad we're realizing that owners are pieces of shit when it comes to taking taxpayer money to build stadiums. And we should be focusing on that more. But at some point, the player empowerment thing gets a little bit tiring.
It's just, it's hard to commit to a particular team. And I mean particular team in terms of like a roster, not, yeah. You know, you can vote for a laundry for your whole life and it doesn't matter, but each player in the laundry. I think the Paul George thing is going to have lasting effects because he was under contract to OKC and it was a huge deal that he re-signed there because everyone thought he was going to LA. And then a year later, he goes to LA anyway, even though he's under contract. So there was a great point that was made by J.A. Adonde from the Los Angeles Times. And he wrote that recruiting never ends and contracts are never going to mean anything. And we're going to live in a perpetual state of free agency. And teams, even though they have signed contracts, are never going to know what their roster is going to look like from year to year because the stars can force their way out.
How do you think Milwaukee Bucks fans are feeling?
100%.
Now.
Right?
Yes. Now we're going to get back into this in 30 seconds. There's one final point I want to make about fan
and Minnesota Timberwolves too, by the way. Oh, yeah. Jimmy Butler.
Oh yeah.
Under contract.
Oh no. I'll read you the list in a second.
Okay.
I'm going to put a pin in this for 30 seconds.
Ooh, put a pin in it.
I'm going to go back to the fan thing.
Okay.
Here was my compromise about fan rage.
Okay.
If you want to burn your Kawhi Leonard jersey, fine. And I tweeted this, so it's not like original material.
I read the tweet. It was good.
So if you're going to burn your jersey, fine. Put your smartphone down. Do not record it. Instead, get 2 graham crackers, some Hershey's chocolate, and a marshmallow. And then with that open flame, though health-wise, burning with a flame of plastic.
Probably. I was going to say, as a parent, unfortunately, my first thought was, how toxic is that flame?
Pretty toxic. But make a s'more. It's delicious. It's the summer. You have an available flame. So if you're going to burn your jersey, how about don't record it for the world to see? Is that a fair compromise?
I think that's great, Matt. Okay. I think you really nailed it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get
player
back to come back to the list. I'm curious to hear.
Here's the list. Kawhi Leonard forced his way out of San Antonio with a year remaining on his deal. Anthony Davis forced his way out of New Orleans with a year and a half out of his deal. Paul George forced his way out of Indiana with a year left on his deal. Jimmy Butler forced his way out of Minnesota and now with Oklahoma City with years left on his deal. Kyrie Irving forced his way out of Cleveland with 2 years left out on his deal. If there's anything we've learned, that if you are very, very good at basketball, contracts don't matter. On one end, chaos is fun. On the other end, it makes it more difficult for the fan, not the millennial who roots for players and not for a team, but for those people out there, millennials included, who root for a team, being an NBA fan is not easy.
So if you're Adam Silver, what do you do? And here's the thing. You don't want to kill the golden goose because player empowerment has also led to amazingly popular players.
Yep.
And his league is expanding internationally at an incredible rate. Because these guys really know how to handle themselves as brands. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they also know how to handle themselves as brands. So what would it look like if Adam Silver came out and said, we are going to put a cap on your ability to be traded until you get to the final year of any deal extended over 3 years. If you sign for a 3+ year deal, you cannot leave that team earlier than 1 calendar year prior to the end of your contract.
I love it, but there needs to be one other side to this. We mentioned DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. If you want the players say, oh, you're forcing us to be loyal, what about the team?
That's the thing. And I was going to say the flip side to this is, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Hooray, we fixed the problem. Mm-hmm. What about the teams?
Yeah.
Teams can't trade anyone then?
I know.
Do you want to go to no trade then?
Yep.
You know, if you're going to ask that commitment of me. See, it's funny. What we call player empowerment is simply players acting like teams.
Yes. But the difference is, as a fan in general, when the team trades a player, it's for the good of the team. Thus, usually, not always, but usually it's for the good, unless you're the Knicks, where you trade Porzingis to get, you know, Julius Randle. Awesome. But usually when a team trades a player, it's to make the team better. The Raptors with DeMar DeRozan. So when you make the team better, it helps the fans. When the player leaves, when the player trades himself, like all these stars do, it helps the player, but it bleeps with the home fan base. So that's the one difference between when a team trades a player and when Kyrie Irving forces his way out.
That is true sometimes, but what about a team that would trade a player because they're coming up to a contract year and they don't intend to pay that player as much as they're going to be worth?
Yes, that's what I, yeah.
And that's, right? Yeah, and that's the flip team, side, right? That's the player. So all of a sudden my season has to go down the toilet because you don't want to pony up some cash?
Yeah.
Because you've got an internal limit that you've set for yourself?
Oh, yeah. And that's what makes this tricky. A lot of times owners do it. OKC did it back in the day because they didn't want to be in the luxury.
See, what I threw out is like the player limitations on movement.
Yeah.
Sounds great, but it's impossible. And it's not even desirable in a way.
Yeah.
So I think this is just what it's going to be. And you have to decide, do I want to follow a league where I'm following players instead of teams? We've always followed teams. As a culture, we've always followed teams. We've been taught to think tribally.
Yep.
These are our guys.
Yep.
This is my city.
Loved it.
They're an extension of me.
Yep.
This team is me.
Yeah.
Now,
that's done.
It's done. Like it's in 20, done. 25 years, these kids growing up, they're going to be, I follow this player.
Yeah.
This player happens to play for that team. And you know what's the truth?
Hmm.
You and I working in sports media are anomalies. Most guys, once they've been in this for long enough, start abandoning the idea of following teams.
It's so true. Not us.
I was with Merrick yesterday. It's his 50th birthday coming up.
Oh.
I bought him a meditation cushion for his 50th birthday. How much have we changed? But yeah. Anyway, the point is, we were laughing about how he's got no rooting interests. He just cheers for interesting stories and players he likes.
I think that limits you as a fan.
But he's not a fan.
No, I know. Yeah, that stinks. I could never do that. I could never.
Neither could I. But you and I never saw ourselves as real parts of the sports media. So
yeah,
that's just us.
Bob, that's a really fair point. By the way, I just thought about this. In this era that we live in where we throw around the terms problematic, where during a Democratic debate, everyone's calling everyone a racist. Think about this. If the plan of trying to cap players' movement, just imagine the Huffington Post article when it's white owners limit players' freedom. You think Draymond Green was upset about, can we not use the word owner anymore? Now it's like, the white guys are telling the rich black guys, your freedom's been taken away from you.
Although
that would be the easiest 5,000-word Huffington Post piece ever.
Yeah, owner's a funny word. I kind of see his point in a way, because you own the team, but you don't own the players.
Oh, yeah,
I see. Like Bell Media were not my owners.
Yeah.
And we would never suggest that I had an owner in George Cope.
I totally see the point, especially because in sports, the main asset is human beings. It's different than if you own a drugstore or a hardware store. I see the point.
Man, I want to love Draymond. But anyway, that's just a quick little sidebar. Yeah. I want to come back to this idea of who you cheer for. What would have happened with Michael Jordan at the height of his Chicago career, say he'd won 4 titles, like Gretzky, decided that he wanted a change. How many people from Chicago would have followed him to whatever team he was going to?
At that time, because he wins the titles in like 91, 92.
Let's say when he decided to come back from his retirement, he decided not to come back to Chicago, and he wound up in New York.
Traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Traitor.
And now, if that exact same thing happened, how many people would follow him?
Most would follow him, and the media, you know, who doesn't want to get on the bad side of the fans, would use words like brave, trailblazer, going by his own drum. It would be the coverage would be different in 19 than it would have been in 1996.
And I think even just a fan's willingness to travel with his favorite player is a lot different now than it would have been when we were growing up.
Yeah.
I think it would have, like, I remember the Curtis Joseph fiasco when we were, you know, growing up, and he decided he wanted to leave Toronto for Detroit.
Yeah.
He was a free agent. It was totally his choice. But people snapped because it was, wait a minute, I love Toronto and you're an important part of Toronto and you ruined this and I hate you. And we never talk that way anymore.
Yeah.
Like the Kawhi thing has been exactly like everybody is so cautious to make it sound like he did anything wrong.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's better now than what it was, but sometimes the pendulum swings a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm more bummed. Again, I'm more bummed out than I am filled with rage. But I have a safe space for people that are feeling angry, but they don't want to express it because then they're going to be shouted down by the social media mob.
The one thing I feel like Raptors fans, it might be a little too soon to say this, but we're not willing to admit to ourselves, is it's not the losing Kawhi that really hurts because mm-hmm. next year's team isn't going to be as good. It's the here's another big guy who didn't stay.
Yeah.
And that story continued. And we'd always hoped, like, look, did Masai pull it off so he could construct a winning team? He did. It was amazing. But what he didn't do is he didn't turn the city of Toronto into a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto didn't win as a destination.
Well, it could be worse. You could be a New York Knicks fan where you've been led to believe that everyone wants to go to New York and then the Stars went to the Nets. Could be worse. You could be an OKC fan who drafted Durant, Harden, and Westbrook, and you have one finals appearance to show for it. And I think that series may have it either went 5 or 6 against the Miami Heat. I forget off the top of my head. I think it actually only went 5. For the Raptors, the problem again was geography. If Kawhi had chosen the Lakers, then that narrative about Toronto can't keep stars would have been bigger because the Lakers are a dysfunctional franchise. He wanted to go home. You know what would be really bad? Let's say RJ Barrett becomes a star, like a massive, like, with a capital S, and he becomes a free agent, and he's like, nah, I don't want to go to Toronto. Mm-hmm. That's when it would be 1,000 daggers in every different part of my heart.
Well, Joey Votto never wanted to come to Toronto. Joey Votto was probably the best hitter in the National League at one point.
Mm-hmm. Except he won't sacrifice his average for RBI, so screw him.
So screw him. Yeah.
Oh, no, but that story still does have some legs about
some, but not really. I also think it's because we haven't really watched Joey Votto play because he's in the National League. If he was a Red Sox, I think it would be different.
Yeah. That one would be, that'd be a lot tougher. But yeah, it does stink that he didn't decide, to come back here.
Let me throw this out at you.
Yeah.
Fan anger.
Yep.
The Raptors have never had more fans than they do right now.
Yes.
And it's a bit of a bitter pill to swallow that after the amazing excitement of winning, you got to deal with the fact that the rug gets pulled out from you. Like, a lot of those kids are like, what do you mean Kawhi's not going to be a Raptor? Because they're now taking their basketballs down to the schoolyard because they want to be like Kawhi.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a Raptor. How important is it for the Raptors to hold this team together next year versus trading off assets for the future? Because we've seen with the Jays what happens when you hang on too long to the memory of the team that was. You really F yourself, right? Masai could not do what Atkins and Shapiro did right now by getting rid of Lowry and Serge and Saul and picking up some assets and just saying, F it, we're retooling on the fly. Or he could bring back that team, which is still a damn good team.
Yep.
Win a round in the playoffs, maybe two.
Maybe two.
Maybe two. Health and breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And all the player, like all the fans that have come along, get another pretty exciting season to follow. How important is it to follow this up with success?
Well, let's first start with the Blue Jays analogy, and then we're going to get to what they should do next year. I don't worry as much about it as what's happening with the Blue Jays where it's just dead for a couple reasons. One, the simple math. It's easier to sell 41 home games than 81 home
games. Good point.
Two, before 2015 with the Blue Jays, when they had this two-year run, they didn't make the playoffs since 93. So they had decades of being irrelevant.
Good point.
Toronto, even before Kawhi got here, they had 5 years of winning 50-plus games. And before there was the dip, and then with Bosch. So they've had at least more regular season success, and at least we've seen the playoffs have been here. Also, Shapiro and Atkins, no one does a better job of just making sure no one likes them. At least everyone likes Masai Ujiri, so there's a higher trust factor with Raptors management than there is with the Blue Jays, where I have a doorstop that has more personality than either Atkins or Shapiro. So I think the Raptors, they've got a longer grace period than the Blue Jays. As for what they should do, here's my thought. You do your best to run it back next year with everyone else. Until or unless a team offers legitimate grade. You don't shop Kyle Lowry or Ibaka or Gasol. you wait for someone else to come to you. Because if you're still continuing to try to develop OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam, I think a truer test of developing a player is an environment that is winning, that's going for something, versus a team that's tanking.
Okay. Everybody but Pascal. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Why did LA ultimately get Kawhi?
They traded Tobias Harris, got them a couple more assets.
Right. And before that, they traded Blake Griffin and yep. they got themselves. Like, Blake Griffin was the franchise. Mm-hmm. And he was a bona fide superstar in the league. Yep. Injuries had slowed him down, so mm-hmm. he wasn't like elite.
Yeah.
But he was still the Clippers guy.
Yeah.
And he had just signed a long-term deal. And there was all that kind of drama that went into, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And it was like, the team is committing to him.
Yeah.
But Jerry West himself has even said, we hit a ceiling, and the only way to move forward was to move around this.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of Blake.
Yeah.
So all of those tough decisions happened. They acquired tons and tons of assets that eventually they were able to flip into a second star. Giannis Antetokounmpo becomes the most interesting name in the NBA because he's a guy who might come to Toronto. Maybe he won't.
Yeah.
But he might. Mm-hmm. And his ticket's coming up.
Yep.
But if there's
2 years.
Right? But it might take 2 years.
Poor Milwaukee fans. Oh.
I know.
Do you enjoy this?
And I hope that Toronto now has a guy going to every Bucks game the way the Clippers had someone going to ours.
Drake, you got a new mission.
He's gonna rap in Greek.
Drake, you're gonna rap in Greek. You're going to every Milwaukee Bucks game. And by the way, Budenholzer. That guy could use a shoulder massage.
Shoulder up, yeah. You have 2 years now to create an environment that a superstar would want to come to. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to need Pascal because, like you say, he's superstar light. But I don't think that's good enough. If there's one thing we've learned about these mega, mega players,
yeah,
you need one to win. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing we've learned about what they want, they don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody there.
But if Siakam takes another jump...
Big if. And that's why I say everybody but him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's the guy I am really curious about, and this might all sound dumb, is I'm really curious about OG Anunoby. Did a little researchery yesterday. And so I went into Google, and I did 2018/19 Raptors preview. I wanted to hear, what was everyone saying about the Raptors before the start of the season? In some cases, even before Kawhi Leonard got there. And NBA.com. And this next line, it's hyperbole. Of course, they didn't really mean this. They said, could be the next, about OG Anunoby, could be the next Kawhi Leonard, will be on an incredible defensive lineup.
Well, we know that's Stanley Johnson, so.
Yeah. OG Anunoby was the guy that a lot of us thought was going to take the leap. And then,
well, he fell out of the lottery just because of an injury at Indiana.
Exactly. And he was really good in Indiana before the injury. So he comes here. He plays well. 2 years ago in the playoffs, acquitted himself quite nicely. And then you start to think he could make the jump. And then deaths in the family, injuries, his year's derailed. If he can take a Pascal jump, and a Pascal can just get 6% better, that's not a bad 1-2 punch with then $90 million coming up.
I agree. But think about what
it
you're saying.
It is a big if. It is a big if.
Now you're doing the fan whistling in the graveyard at night, right? If OG can just do what Pascal did, which, by the way, was take the single greatest leap of any player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So if he can just take a greater leap of improvement than every other player in the NBA this year, right? Like, I expect him to be better. But what does that really mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And think about the Philadelphia 76ers and when the Raptors beat them, what we talked about. Oh, Ben Simmons doesn't have a jump shot. Oh, Ben Simmons can't do this. Ben Simmons is a freakishly good athlete. Like OG Anunoby, in terms of impact on the court, is nowhere near Ben Simmons. He may not be a perfect star.
Yeah.
Simmons might not be. But we're not even considering him to be elite. And he's a former number one pick who's 6'10" and can run the point.
Yeah.
And is freakishly talented.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about OG Anunoby, we're doing local bias here, which is, hey, this nice piece that we like.
No, you're
if
right.
he can just turn into a superstar, yeah. we'll be fine.
Yeah, no.
Superstars don't turn into superstars in this league.
Oh, no. I just think with OG, if he can turn into a legitimate starter, if he can turn into Tobias Harris, and if Siakam can go up by another 4% or 5%, that's a good nucleus. But getting to your original point... about everyone but Siakam, I'm fine with that. If you could get a great deal for OG, you do it. I think
just assets.
Yeah.
You just need assets.
But maybe the only place you and I diverge on, if I'm Masai, I listen to every offer. but I'm not aggressive. I'm waiting for other people to engage me, because I think if you want these guys to improve, you improve better in an environment of trying to win. I think it's harder to improve as a player if, and unless you're like the, like just Kevin Durant, just dripping with talent. For everyone else, if you want to develop into a star or starlight, it's better if every night you're going up against real competition with real stakes versus you're trying to lose 18 of 20 for a better chance of a good ping pong ball.
Yeah. You got to build through the draft, which is obviously true for everyone. Mm-hmm. So that's just the luck, right? If somebody knew that Kawhi was going to turn into this player, well, they wouldn't have drafted him 15th.
Nope.
They would have drafted him first.
Yeah.
You know, people, when they talk about, oh, smart drafts and all this, it's kind of bullshit in a way. Like, that might be true for the first round. But once you get to the second round and you're on your second and third pick, don't be too proud. Because if you thought that player was going to be that good, you would have taken him with the first pick.
You know why Giannis fell? He was 6'9". He then grew like 4 or 5 inches.
Isn't that wild?
It is. You know, that's...
Well, Kawhi wasn't a great shooter.
He wasn't. So that's why, Bob, it's called both draft and develop. Coming up next on TSN 1050, I'll tell you why.
I like how we develop players.
Yeah.
We're really good at it.
We are really good at it. You know, we're also good at, Bob, we're good at developing relationships.
Oh, God.
Like my relationship and your relationship.
Why is it you always lean back and drape your arm over the back of your chair?
Because I'm very proud of myself. I'm proud of myself of a C minus transition.
You know what? You're the human version of the double guns.
Yeah. Hey, here we go, everybody. Let me tell you something. Double guns to our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. You want to reach him? Easy. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com. I'm going to give you the info first and the story second. I'm flipping the script. 416-777-0088. His phone number is 416-777-0088. And you're probably asking yourself, Matt, what? Why are you giving contact info for Jeff Pollock? It's simple, because he's a really good lawyer and he's an easy guy to get along with and you'll trust him and you can check off the box. Oh no, I need legal help, or what if I need to do a will? Don't worry, he'll get it done. He'll get it done in an efficient manner, and he's a great guy. And last week, I went over to his house and him and his wife, they cooked duck surrounded with bacon. Oh, it was delicious. My naturopath said, eat more of it. JeffPollock.com. He's our lawyer. He should be yours.
I'm going to see my naturopath tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I get the results from my blood screen.
Ooh, fingers crossed.
I was talking to a friend of mine who said, it's going to be leaky gut, because everybody goes to a naturopath and they say you've got a leaky gut.
Yeah.
So let's see if that's true.
Could you do me a favor, Bob? Could you go in, when you see the naturopath, could you be eating a large hunk of Gouda and you've got like a French baguette like sling to your back, like a yoga mat? Could you go in and do that? That's what I'd like to see.
I think the Merrick family has the right attitude towards food. We were at his place.
Uh-huh.
He's a super vegan, right?
Yeah.
But he's also like a super fit guy.
Yeah.
Like super duper unbelievable. He's in incredible shape. Like he is,
yeah.
Of all the people I know, he is the most fit.
He'll never be ashamed of taking his shirt off at any situation.
He should do Hockey Central without his shirt on.
Yeah. Or you know what?
They'd have to do white balance though, because he's pretty pale.
1980s. Football, college football player midriff. He should like wear it's a midriff, like, but the tie still goes down to his belly button.
Ezekiel Elliott who came to the ESPYs, or was the draft or something? Yeah, it was the ESPYs, right?
Yeah, they came to the ESPYs with the midriff.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
super vegan.
They're super vegan,
yeah.
And they just like laid out some fruit and vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and grazed on that all day. Like I was there for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And we just had fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most unbelievable thing. Kids are running around in the backyard. We're having water fights and everybody's just nibbling on celery.
And everyone's just hydrating on water. Actually, no, I think probably Jeff, what is he, like a little bit of scotch or whiskey or craft beer? Or?
No beer, no alcohol, just coffee and water.
So he's done that. What the hell is
he's all the way.
What the hell?
I was on the phone with him the other day. We talked about a guy named Wim Hof. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He's a cold water guy. His whole thing is like... everything you do should be in cold water. Don't do anything in hot water. So showers, baths.
It is true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you do a shower, it is actually better for you if you just have if you had the cold shower.
Yeah, and he's like an ice plunge guy. So that like longevity and health, he like does these crazy ice plunges.
Yeah.
Not Merrick. Wim Hof does.
Yeah. You and your, like you and like just George and Merrick. Oh, God.
And Landsberg too.
Yeah.
Because Landsberg's super healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like Landsberg looks great. He's got to be almost 60.
Yeah. I think that's why you hang out with me. You need at least one person that lives with where that not only courts vice, but lives with vice.
I see myself in you.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly, I don't see myself in George or Merrick. Jesus.
Merrick's a machine. He's man slash machine.
I just found that if you got the frozen dumplings from the TNT supermarket, not only are they easy to steam, they're delicious.
I gotta go to TNT.
I was there yesterday. Just started loading up the novelty, and it's so good. Love TNT supermarket.
How long do we have? Because I got a couple things I want to throw out to
you. Yeah, no, we still got time. Let me just get this out of the way. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I used it the other day. SeatGiant.ca. They're our Canadian partner on the show. They're like Ticketmaster, but better. Canadian operated and owned. They're in Canadian dollars. If you're going to buy any concert, please, for this show, SeatGiant.ca. Use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout. You save money. Just go to it's simple to do. You know how to do. We've all done discount codes. You save some money. We get a little bit of kickback, which is great because doing the podcast ain't free. Go, Bob, go. SeatGiant.ca.
Yeah, okay. LeBron.
Yeah.
What do we make of this situation? Because I'm looking at the team as it's rounding out yesterday on Twitter. After the Kawhi news, the dominoes start to fall. Boogie, Rondo, Danny Green signs there.
Yep.
They actually have a pretty darn good team.
Do they?
When you consider that they got two top eight players and a bunch of... I don't think they have the shooting they need. But I don't think they turned out to be a disaster.
Boogie could be great.
Boogie is the magic.
Boogie is the one. Rondo, whatever. He's old.
Agreed.
Danny Green.
Kyle Kuzma, decent player.
Kyle Kuzma, yeah. Danny Green will be great for you in the regular season, but we got a pretty good sample size of playoff Danny Green. Will be good for you defensively.
Yeah.
Just don't ask him to hit a shot.
Yeah, I see him just being a useful depth guy.
Yeah.
Like in the playoffs, if you're going eight, he's maybe number eight.
Yeah. Maybe.
On a good team?
By the end for the Raptors, he didn't see the court. I mean, except for his defense. First off, we haven't really talked about it. You did a little bit off the top. Thank God he didn't. Like, he didn't go to the Lakers. My first thought was, damn it! Mm-hmm. And then my second thought was, all right, it's the lesser of two evils. There's more parity. You've got George and Kawhi versus LeBron and Anthony Davis. Which is actually kind of irrelevant.
Steph and Clay.
Yeah.
Because I know that team's hurting now.
Yeah.
But you can build on Steph and Clay. They're the greatest backcourt in history.
Unfortunately for the East Coast, none of that means anything because those games start at 10 or 10:30 anyway.
Paul George and James Harden. Lillard and McCollum. Like, there's some pretty killer duos out there in the West
Chris
right now.
Chris Paul and James Harden.
Didn't I say that? Oh, no, sorry, George. Chris Paul and James Harden. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Utah. Mm-hmm. And Utah looks terrific. And Denver is still very dangerous. So
yeah.
That's crazy competitive.
Once again, the West. All like so much of the talent is in the West.
I feel bad for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They drafted first twice.
Yeah, that's
overall.
Matter.
And they got Karl Anthony Towns, a terrific player.
Yep.
Wiggum, who's not.
Nope.
Wiggum. Wiggins.
I'm not going to get rebounds. I'm Andrew Wiggins.
He plays with the vitality of a Chief Wiggum.
Yep.
That's a sad story. Anyway, point is, like, I feel like the weirdest thing about this whole saga is they didn't sign any free agents. Now, I know they hung on for Kawhi, and that was the big thing. But nobody wants to play with LeBron.
At the very least, you can say this. Because Davis wanted... Who knows? Maybe Davis just wanted to go to L.A. Maybe it had less to do with LeBron. I don't know. But there's certainly a lot less than what it was a decade ago in terms of, man, I'd love to play for LeBron. Like, Wade couldn't wait because they were best friends. And Bosh couldn't wait.
Bosh practically had to be sedated.
Yeah. But, you know, there's certainly the allure of playing with LeBron James is less now than what it was before. That part is clearly true.
You know, the other thing that I really loved about this saga with the Lakers is that Kawhi probably rightly looked at that situation and said, I don't need that grief.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see the chickens come home to roost, that simply being the Lakers and frankly, simply being the Knicks, like.
The Knicks, that one's been the same for 20 years.
I know, but I'm saying like these teams, their bad decisions and bad ownership has come to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not rooting against those teams. I don't really care one way or the other, but it's nice to see that the team that was really well run You know, and give Steve Ballmer credit. He's done an amazing job with the Clippers. Jerry West, amazing job.
Yep.
Doc Rivers, better as a coach than as a front office guy.
Yeah, just don't do both jobs. Just stick with one.
Right. But the smart team won. If it was going to have to be LA, the smart team won. Just like Brooklyn did.
I hate to rain on that, but I'm going to have to a little bit.
Okay, go for it.
The Lakers for the last decade have been a horrible team.
Yep.
Horrible. Their free agent signings, their drafts, they're getting rid of D'Angelo Russell. The way they cater to Kobe.
Russell, Ingram, Ball, all these guys aren't there anymore.
The way they cater to Kobe in the last year or so. Just a horrible, horrible run organization. Yet they still have two of the top seven players in the league because of their geography. LeBron didn't go there because of Magic Johnson. And Jeannie Buss is really bad, but I think we're always a little more hesitant to, you know, to rip on a female owner. And the great thing is, the only one worse than Jeannie Buss was her brother that she rightly got out, you know, knocked out. But she's not good. And yet LeBron still went there, and Anthony Davis still went there and chose there over anyone else. Yes, in this case, Bob, you're 100% right. The fact that Kawhi didn't go there, at the very least, that is a kick in the balls for them and is at least, you know, something to feel good about. They still have Davis and LeBron.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. My point would have been better if I was very specific that it was in this case.
In this case, you're 100% right.
Because your point about, and the way you lay it out is, it's totally true. Being a Laker comes with certain perks. And they are really valuable to guys who want to extend their brands, everybody.
There's no greater advantage in all of professional sports in North America. The single greatest advantage is the Lakers' geography and the Lakers' history. You don't need the present. As long as you got geography and history, they will do better than most other teams.
Of all the teams that have to feel let down right now, the Lakers, you know, they got their prize in Anthony Davis. They didn't get all the prize, but they're certainly way better now than they would have been otherwise.
Yeah.
But the Knicks.
The Knicks are the biggest loser. It's not even close.
It's not even close. Minnesota's in rough shape in that, you know, they lost Jimmy Butler and it never really turned into anything for them.
Yeah.
And I think they thought they were getting D'Angelo Russell, and there was like this last minute swerve. And Russell and Towns at least would have been compelling. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how great they would have been, but they certainly would have been interesting.
Yep.
And you're Minnesota and you think, God, are we ever going to do anything right? But the Knicks, James Dolan,
I'm a Knicks fan. I started as a Knicks fan before there was the Raptors.
Right. What do you do now? What do you do?
I don't know. You go drink with Artemi Panarin. I can never say his first name.
Weird that hockey has run so well. Like the Rangers look terrific.
But you know why, Bob? Because hockey is easy. In comparison to the NBA with player movement, player empowerment, player power, and it's the nature of the game, blah, blah, blah. We all know all the reasons. And listen, building a Stanley Cup championship is really hard and good on the St. Louis Blues and all of that. But if you ask a GM in the NHL, or you ask a GM in the NBA, when they look at the NHL, like, those guys have it easy. Those guys have it so easy. But as for the Knicks, you know, it's... What needs to happen is that James Dolan needs to be framed for something racist. You know, if we're able to get Donald Sterling, that horrible human being, we got him out of the end. They got him out of the NBA. God, like, listen, James, sell the team, enjoy your billions of dollars, and you can tour more. Just get out. You created two max spots. You got rid of Porzingis, and I know Porzingis didn't want to be there, but you. God, you were in a real rush to get rid of him. You didn't even try to get anything back.
I hope RJ Barrett works out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything that franchise touches turns to dust.
It really does.
And I hope it doesn't extend to him. I don't think he can save it.
Yeah.
But at least don't be destroyed by it.
They don't even take meetings. Like, players don't even want to take meetings there. Like, the Knicks. This is the worst one. They went to the Nets. And by the way, we don't know if it'll work out for the Nets. Durant's going to be... You know, past 32 when he comes back from it. And let's face it, Kyrie Irving is the number one guy. Doesn't exactly have a track record of success.
Okay. Team you would rather build, or a player you'd rather build around. Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving. That's a tough one.
I'm going to go Westbrook because Westbrook always cares. Kyrie Irving against Milwaukee in the second round of the playoffs was checked out from time to time. Westbrook often cares too much, but if I have to choose, I think he's the lesser of the two evils.
I think Kobe ruined Westbrook because Westbrook studied at the hip of Kobe.
Yeah.
And I think Kobe taught him, whatever you do, never give up a single piece of what's yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, let it be said, Kobe is not overrated. Let's start there.
Okay.
Let's start there.
Okay, interesting.
But
Kobe, hot take.
Kobe won with Shaq. Mm-hmm. Shaq leaves. Kobe doesn't win. Mm-hmm. Then he gets Paul Gasol. And when you look at, you know, when they beat the Celtics, I think it was 2010, the game winner or the clinching game for the Lakers, Kobe shot like 6 of 24. Kobe's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Kobe's an incredible player. But Kobe was in the right situation to be Kobe and still win. I'm I'm not 100% formed on this thought, but I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay. I'm not going to touch that one. Yeah. I will say, though, that I watched an interview yesterday with Ahmad Rashad interviewing Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
It was called The Interview. Okay. Yeah. And it was so funny watching him not even pretend to not be an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just leave it like that. I mean, Kobe fans are, you know, I mean, they're not as bad as Beyonce fans, but, you know, they're still pretty.
Beyonce fans are pretty intense.
They are.
I like Rihanna fans. I got a big, I like Beyonce quite a bit. I think she's extremely talented.
Of course she's talented. No one's saying that, but you know, calm down.
This whole Queen Bee thing is maybe a little much, but Rihanna, yeah. I think is, I don't know if you could be a superstar and be underrated, but she sort of is.
Mm. I'll take your word for it. I imagine you might listen to more Rihanna because of your daughter.
No, I just like her.
Oh, okay.
I think she's really great. Okay, so we've talked a lot. Just to recap, let me think here. So basically, we're not mad at Kawhi.
We're super bummed out.
We feel like the Raptors did a good job of navigating this.
Yep.
We feel like we have divergent opinions on what they should do next year. You think they should try to run it back. I think they should blow it up.
Well, I think they should run it back, but the moment they get a good offer, then go in a different direction.
Okay.
My difference is I think you want Masai to be more proactive of getting rid of the soon-to-be UFAs, and I'm like, nope, let someone come to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're quibbling over details, though, because I wouldn't recommend they do a deal just to do a deal.
Yeah.
I would rather see them go into the playoffs with this team next year if it was the difference between that or Serge Ibaka being flipped for a second rounder.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get a something.
Yeah, because part of sports is to entertain.
Right.
Like at some point.
Yeah, I think that this team could win a round or maybe two in the playoffs.
They could win 47 games.
You know, they're a good team. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody talks about the 17-5 record they had without Kawhi. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see about that next year. But they're certainly not a 500 or worse squad.
No, they're not Cleveland when they lost LeBron James.
Right.
They suddenly, Dan Gilbert.
And all of a sudden, Colin Sexton's the man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They lose LeBron, and there's Dan Gilbert's son in a bow tie at the draft lottery.
And we think that the Knicks are the big loser, that LeBron probably has lots to still feel good about, and that player empowerment, there's nothing you can do about it, so strap on or get off.
Yeah.
And that's basically it, right?
And Sam Presti, quiet winner in this.
Yeah, man, what a haul.
Got a great haul for now a guy who no longer won. A guy who now got tempted by the siren song of Kawhi Leonard, who knew the recruiter.
Can you imagine the kick in the gut when you get that call from Paul George that says, I want out, and you realize what you've worked so hard to build is gone.
Oh, yeah. A lot of kicks in the gut. I think Masai probably felt one. Nick Nurse felt one. But at the very least, we've got the warmth of the championship. It's still here. And the Raptors next year, they could be a really fun team because they're playing with house money. For Lowry, Ibaka, and Gasol, it's like, let's try super hard because we want one more contract. For some of the young guys, hey, there's a path where I could become a really relevant player. And by the way, as for the fan base, if it doesn't work out, we just won the championship.
Right. Just remember that party. Just remember the parade.
Listen, yeah.
You know, at some point, I always turn everything into an inspirational speech. So here's mine for today.
Go.
I was thinking about my own life, and I was thinking about how there was tons of good things, but nothing lasted. Like, I was a musician for a while. I produced a television show. I owned a radio station. I was a broadcaster. I went to film school. Like, over the last 20 years, I've worn a lot of hats, and all of them had amazing rewards and real struggles attached to them.
Yeah.
And in between all of these chapters, there was periods of positioning yourself. Like, some of them flowed one right into the other, but sometimes there was like a year or two, even longer, before you really know what you're doing now. You know? And I guess that's why I don't freak out about this, because I'm a big process guy. And I realized from all of these life's experiences, the only thing you can do is wake up, do the work that's in front of you, and see how it all falls.
Yep.
And something always happens. It always happens if you do the right things. I totally believe in Masai. And I think that within 2 or 3 years, this team is going to be at least as good as it was with Damar and Kyle. And I love that team. Did you love that team?
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
And did you think, oh, they're never going to win a championship? I'm not enjoying myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never did. Mm-hmm. I thought, this team's really awesome. And if they catch a couple breaks, let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, so I think within a few years, we're going to be right back into the seat of feeling like we're in the thick of it. What we gained from this experience was the knowledge that we can compete with anybody, which I don't think this franchise or even this culture knew.
We have no time to answer this question today.
Okay.
We're out of time.
Well, that's
too bad. And that was, Bob, that was very well put.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You know, every opportunity, because I am a dad,
yeah,
everything for me is a teaching opportunity.
Yeah, where's Cece? Is she here right now?
No, she's at home watching Netflix and eating potato chips.
Good job with
on
your,
an air mattress.
Good job with your speeches, Bob. I leave you with this question that we can answer in the next podcast.
Okay.
More important to sign in the city of Toronto for a long-term good deal? Mitch Marner or Masai Ujiri? Think about it. Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Matt. Chick-chicka.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.